Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Hey, welcome back to Hack the Entrepreneur. I'm so happy you decided to join me today. I'm your host, John Naster, but you can call me Johnny. My guest today is a website developer and designer, graphic artist, podcast producer, music and video maker, as well as an entrepreneur. He wants to teach people how to make money and have a blast in the process, as he believes that it's possible to make money online by simply being yourself and being creative. My guest has built a passive income stream through what he calls passion mashing, which involves trying to blend a business idea with a personal passion. His current projects include Roasty Coffee, a resource on how to find, brew, and drink great coffee, and Swim University, a website that teaches people how to take care of their pools and hot tubs. Now, let's hack Matt Giovannici. Welcome back to Hack the Entrepreneur. We have another very cool guest on the show today. Matt, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, John. And I am cool. Thank you.
You are. You wouldn't be on the show otherwise. And if you weren't, you now are, Matt.
I am so, so cool.
Okay, Matt, let's do this.
Okay.
Matt, as an entrepreneur.
Yes.
whether you like the title or not.
Okay.
What is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
Oh, the one thing I do? The one thing I do is try to make myself laugh. I can explain that and why that is. So when it comes to like doing what I do online, if I can laugh at it or go back and say, wow, I'm a genius, those are usually the things that like helped me grow as an entrepreneur, or got me like a ton of traffic, or, you know, did something that, you know, just made me just a little bit more famous in the online community, you know? So it's all about like my goal is to just have like a whole lot of fun and do really weird, goofy things that make me laugh pretty much. That's my thing.
Oh man, I love it.
Yeah. I can explain like exactly what I mean too, but
let's do it because this to me is something I'm kind of becoming known for amongst some people where I just always tell people, like people email me and want advice on something they wrote or a video. Mm-hmm. And I'll just look at it quickly and then I'll write back and be like, the content might be good, but I couldn't watch it because it's friggin' boring.
Yeah,
so it's please really just boring. Don't be boring.
Yeah.
I don't care what it is. Just don't be boring. But so it's please hard. Expound it's, on this for us.
Yeah. That's hard advice because some people are boring and they don't know what non-boring is. Right. I mean, they're
true. Wow. I never thought of it that way.
Yeah. I know some boring people who also make me laugh. So it's just like, I don't know. It's here, you know? So basically for me, when I started Swim University, which is the site that makes me an entrepreneur, I did this video, a rap video about swimming pool care. And I'm like, this is the most insanely stupid thing I can think of doing right now. And it was the most successful thing I've ever done. And it got me just a ton of traffic, got me a ton of backlinks. And then like a year later, I started getting all kinds of traffic because I put out a friggin' rap video about swimming pool care that was really, really just a funny project that I thought, you know, no one's going to watch this, but I think it's funny and it's stupid. So I'm going to do it. And I could, because I had the time and the resources and the talent, I guess, to do all those things. And yeah, that was the first time for me when I thought, oh, this is what I'm doing for the rest of my life. Like, this, like I already knew that was what I was going to do. And I'm like, oh, they're letting me get away with this. Imagine if I had a corporate job and I had to do it. And my boss came into my office and was like, you know, Matt, we need you to record a pool care rap video and we need it by Friday. And I'm like, what? Why? Okay, fine. I'll do it. But no, that's really like, and then I do some other stuff too. Like I'll write it like an article and I'll throw in like Easter eggs for me. I don't tell anybody. They're just for like me. I'm a huge fan of Arrested Development, the television show. And I always try to throw some sort of Arrested Development joke, inside joke within the content that I create, because otherwise, like, you know, I'm writing about pool care and it's already a really boring subject. So I'm like, I'm just going to make it fun, because otherwise I'm just going to, well, I'll shoot myself if I have to just keep writing a how-to article on pool algae. You know, I got to figure out a way to, you know, turn it into something fun that I can laugh at later or laugh at the time I'm making it.
Yeah. If you like, I mean, there are more boring topics than pool care, probably. Maybe.
Maybe.
maybe not. But it's interesting. So you know this now, obviously, looking back, you're like, yeah, mm-hmm. I do a rap video about pool care and it takes off. Now you know that, like, try to make yourself laugh and be funny. But how ridiculous did you think you were being just when the idea first came to you, like, maybe I should make a rap video for this swim university?
Yeah. So actually, I didn't think it was that ridiculous, because I have this like little inside mantra for myself, which is called passion mashing. And the only reason I like that is because it rhymes. But the idea is simple. My passion at the time of, you know, I hate the word passion too, by the way, but you're going to notice that I hate a lot of words that, you know, float around our little online circles. But so for me, when I started Swim University, it was, I knew a lot about pool care because I worked at a pool store, and I knew a lot about how to design websites because I used to be in a rock band and we needed a website. So I learned website design, I learned pool care, and I'm going to mash these two things together and I'm going to create Swim University, right? So that's how that, you know, came to be. Then now I have Swim University and I'm like, what's my other thing that I like to do? And I liked creating comedy rap songs. Like, that was my thing. I have this, you know, side project that I periodically work on called Liberty Gigolos, which is my fake rap group. And it's just me really right now. And I just write these comedy hip hop songs. I did it for my friend's wedding down in Florida, and I did a whole album for their wedding. And it's just something I like to do. Right. So I'm like, can I mash Swim University with my comedy rap career? And I was like, well, I'm going to try it. And it's like, I mash them together and there you have it. I got this pool care rap video and I've done it. And I keep trying to do that every time I look at like what I'm doing. I'm like, I have this really boring business and I have this really cool hobby. So I'm going to try to, you know, I'm trying to figure out how I can mash together Swim University with snowboarding. There's a way. I'm going to figure it out. Like, I already mashed my new coffee project with snowboarding. So, you know, that's basically the mantra that I try to do when I'm, you know, creating things online.
I love it.
Yeah.
And I mean, you're in Colorado, so now's the time to mash the two together.
Yeah. Oh, hell yeah. Yeah.
Okay, Matt, let's go back a bit if we can. Uh-huh. There's this time in every entrepreneur's life when they realize one of two things. Either they have this calling to make something big in the world, or they simply just cannot work for somebody else. Can you tell me which of these two you are and when you discovered this about yourself?
I'm definitely the latter. Nice. 100%. I've always been very loyal. Like, I've worked several jobs. In fact, I've been working since I was 13 years old, sans child labor laws somehow. I don't know. It's usually my anecdote, but I have been working for a very long time. I did not go to college, and I was very loyal to the companies I worked for. I worked for a lot of pool companies and I stayed with them for a very long time. And I always liked my bosses. I never, you know, even if you like your boss, you're still like annoyed by them. You know, it's just going to happen. And for me, I always felt like I can work here forever, or, you know, I could do my own thing. And I've always wanted to do my own thing. I was in a, you know, when I worked, I was in a band and I thought I was going to be a rock star for a long time. So I tried really hard at that for a little bit. That didn't work out. And I was like, I want to do this, you know, swimming pool website. And that was like the thing that I really wanted to do. And I'm like, it'll be a side project. And then if it turns into full time, like, great. That's what I really want to do. I really want to just have the freedom to do and go and be wherever I want to be. So that's always been a driver for me the whole time. It's not about building. It's not about like building the thing that changes the world. Cause I can tell you, Swim University isn't changing jack. I can't, can I say the S word? What's the deal here?
Yeah, we'll see.
All right. Well, I won't. I'll keep it PG.
I'll just keep giving you non-answers. Yeah, how about that?
That's fine. Perfect. Okay. Yeah. I wanted freedom. That's really the bottom line. I didn't want to go to a job. I didn't want to work 9 to 5. I didn't want to work weekends. I didn't want to work, really. I just wanted to work on the things that I liked working on, because I would come home from work and work because I liked it, but I didn't like the work I was doing at work. So I'm like, well, how can I turn the work that I'm doing at home after work into work? I know I'm using the word work a lot here, and it's probably confusing to some, but the idea basically is I want to do the things that I really love to do during the day, 9 to 5, when, you know, most people do their normal job. So that was sort of the driver for me. And I don't know if you want to go into this, but I know you had mentioned before we got on the podcast that, like, you're either that most entrepreneurs like have that moment where they quit their job and they go and pursue the things that they want to pursue. Right. And for me, that was sort of, my hand was sort of forced because I was fired or I was let go. And so the way I looked at it were, I have to admit that I was slacking off at my job, and in the hopes that I would be laid off. I always wanted to be laid off because I knew being laid off meant I could collect unemployment, which for all of my life, I knew I didn't collect unemployment. Even though I've been laid off multiple times, I never knew that unemployment was available to me. So I always just like went and got another job as quickly as I could. And I never took the opportunity to, you know, to collect unemployment, and not as a freeloader, but as an opportunity. So when I saw that, when it came to me and they were like, we're going to have to let you go, my eyes lit up and I'm like, this is it. This is the moment. This is, you know, I've now been given the hours to do the thing that I want to do while also being paid for it. And so I looked at the government giving me a business grant when really it was just unemployment. So I gave myself 1 year of unemployment to take Swim University to make, you know, enough money for me to survive. And I was able to accomplish that goal because that was the only thing in life that I wanted. I was single. I had a condo and I had a BMW. So I was like living this like super awesome bachelor life. And I thought to myself, what is it that I really want to do every day? And that is, I don't want to work for anyone. And so that was more valuable to me than owning a BMW and living in a really nice brand new condo. So I rented the condo out. I sold the BMW. I moved in with my brother and I just lowered my expenses by like, I don't know, 3/4, and was living on nothing pretty much, and just got by and worked my ass off. And now I'm able to travel to Boulder for a month and stay in this really awesome condo and have views of the mountains besides living in South Jersey where I'm from. So, and that was all done in a matter of a year or two. And I'm still not like super rich, awesome, like get to fly helicopters all over the country and ride in limos instead of Ubers. But I don't know. I have the freedom. I have so much freedom that it's crazy. And that's all I've ever wanted. And I got that.
Beautiful answer, man.
Thank you.
And that's awesome. I love it. And you said two things. So Did you not start at all before, like when you were employed?
Oh, no, I definitely started. Yeah, I may have started like 4 years before. And
wow.
The problem. Yeah, I went through so much stuff with Swim University. I've gone through. So I was part of this. Like early on, I knew I wanted to do this website, right? So it took me 2 years. I had the idea and my friend was finally like, you've been talking about Swim University for 2 years. I think you need to man up and do it. So I was like, all right. So I went and built it, and I built it all using HTML pages. So it was just like manual, you know, every article was a separate HTML page. And
old school.
Cause I knew how to design websites, and that's pretty much where it ended, right? And then I thought, you know what? I'm going to learn coding and I'm going to build my own like software where I can update articles while I'm at work. Oh my God. So I built this whole program to run my website, which at the time I didn't realize I was building WordPress. So I had built WordPress for myself. And I'm like, and then I finally like came to the conclusion, like, oh wait, WordPress does more than what my software can do. And it's, you know, this is all just hobby stuff. Like, this is all like on the side. Like, when I got home from work, I mean, I didn't really have much of a, I mean, I had a social life. I shouldn't say that. But, you know, I liked working. I liked building and creating things, whether it's rap songs or videos or being in a band and whatever it was. I just liked creating and doing graphics and stuff. So I built this site, I put it on WordPress, and I was writing these 300-word piece of crap articles because I was part of this community that I won't mention, that I don't even know if they're still around or not, but at the time, they were hacking SEO. They were just like, hey, you could write 300-word articles and stick them up on easingarticles.com and get like 2 backlinks per article. And, you know, it's all about getting as many backlinks as possible to your website and it'll grow. And it worked. I was doing it for years. I had spreadsheets. I was just writing and spinning 300-word articles about robotic pool cleaners every single day. And you know what? It really sucked. It was crappy work, but I did it because it was just what I wanted to do. And I knew I had, at the time, like I was part of this community. I thought this is the only way, this is how you build websites. This is how people do it. You know, I was learning from people who had really successful websites. Well, then all of a sudden Google's like, no, you guys can't do this. What are you doing? And so they had to change their whole tune and their whole like community had to just flip. They were like, we were doing it all wrong. So now we're going to start writing for humans. And I'm like, are you, what? Okay. So like this whole time I'm building this site and I'm doing a shitty job because they're telling me to do a crappy job. Sorry about that. And so then I'm like, all right, I need to go find a new community. And I did, I found a new community and I'm not sure if you're familiar with Fizzle, but
yes.
I joined them and I was reading up what Think Traffic was doing with Corbett Barr and he was saying to write for the people. And I was like, okay, that's a novel idea. Let me try that. So I started like doing infographics and writing really big articles and really trying really, really hard to like make pool care super easy for everyone to understand. And as soon as I like did that, which is so obvious now, like why wouldn't you do that from the beginning? Isn't that the point of a website? I was just so focused on traffic building that I didn't realize that my site sucked. Like the content on my site was terrible. And it was like, no one was going to read a 300-word article about a robotic pool cleaner. That's dumb. So then I just started, you know, writing stuff. I started writing. I hate writing, but I started doing a lot of it. And I started doing a lot of graphics and I started doing video. And then everything changed. So slowly,
yeah.
I mean, it's all slow. It's never, no, nothing online or any business really is like Kickstarter, raise $2 million and then start this huge business. And that's what everyone wants. And everyone thinks is going to happen. Like,
doesn't work.
I got this idea for a product. It's this traveling Segway that you can work on. And I'm like, well, how the frig are you going to build something like that? And I want to go on Kickstarter. Good luck.
Yeah,
because exactly. It's hard. It's real. I tried selling t-shirts on Kickstarter and got nowhere. And I just think like for anyone out there who's listening about and wants to do this, all the biggest thing I can tell you is that it's going to take so much time. It's going to just be a long, slow process. Now for some out there, you go from 0 to 60. It's like, you know, you might get that hockey stick moment, which is basically when you're article gets published on Lifehacker and or like Huffington Post and it sends a, you know, a ton of traffic to your website and now you're just up another notch. But for me, that wasn't the case. For me, it was, you know, it was going up, 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 Google algorithm, down, crash, and then back up, 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 writing epic content, up, 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 doing videos, up, up, up. And now here I am with a successful website that makes enough for me to survive every year. And, you know, that's it. Now I can focus on building more stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And it does take a super long time. All I was visualizing when you said the hockey stick thing, because I've heard the hockey stick reference so many times, and I'm wondering, is it, because it's kind of true if you like lie the hockey stick horizontally. So it's got this long, like flat part that goes forever. And that's just you with your head down working and everybody ignores you. No one's paying attention. No one knows you're working and you're working for years and years and years and years. And then all of a sudden there's that life hacker at the end and things start to really happen then.
Right. You get recognized.
That's not overnight. That's like literally years that nobody talks about that whole flat part where you're just working and working and working.
Yeah. I mean, look, I'm starting a new brand. I'm taking the Swim University model that I've created over the years. I mean, it's not like I started off like, this is my business model and I'm going to make it. So it evolved. Like crazy amount, like just crazy. So now I feel pretty confident that I have this like little model for myself. It's nothing, you know, it's not in stone. It's not like a business plan or anything. It's just this little thing I have. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to try to repeat this now in a whole new industry. And I know that it's going to take a long time. However, you know, Swim University may have taken me 7 years to build and like get to this point. So, but now I can take a look back at those 7 years and notice like all the mistakes I made. So I can cut out basically the first, you know, 3 or 4 years of like all that black hat SEO stuff I was learning. So that's all cut out. So now, you know, it's 3 years. So can I take a website like Swim University and build it in less than 3 years now that I know exactly what I have to do in order to reach where I am now?
Yeah.
So it's just like, okay. And then like, and then that's great. So like, that's my plan for this new website, which is a coffee website called roastycoffee.com, which launches at the end of this in the beginning of April. And so now that I can do that, I'm like, all right, the next project that I do, I'm going to say, okay, how can I do it faster than I did roasty.com, you know, roastycoffee.com? How can I do it quicker? And I think that's really all it is. And, you know, then I can experiment with different side projects, just like you would if you had a normal job. Like I had, like, to me right now, Swim University is my normal job. It provides me a steady paycheck every month. So now I can do side projects like I, you know, did at work. And so see if that works for me or not. And I think it's really all it is. It's just like a road of main sources of income and then little side projects. And then they maybe turn into bigger incomes. And that's really all it is.
Totally. It's a cool way of looking at it. And so you said now when you launch a new brand, then you obviously can be a couple years ahead of the curve that you would have been before because of your mistakes and what you've learned from them, right? So let's talk about that if we can. Because as people, as an entrepreneur and a solo like dude running your business, like I am myself,
yeah,
we go through these things where we completely do something wrong, we screw something up totally, and we just fail like miserably on something we try and do. And it can be really sort of debilitating for either a couple hours, a couple days, or a couple weeks where we just really is hard to get up and get going again. So Matt, can you sort of walk us through how within your business how to be wrong?
Is that the same as like how to fail fast?
No. Okay. I don't, there's no right answer. I really want to know how you, when you do something and you go all in, if Roasty Coffee ends up completely miserably failing on you.
Yes.
Some of those things hit us hard, man. I try things and I think that I put so much work and effort into it myself, and then I put it out there and nobody cares. And it's kind of like, oh man, that's, or else like a cool thing is going to happen where you're going to make a, some, like you are going to write for Lifehacker. You're told, say, for months, and then no, actually you're not anymore. And it's like, oh, that sucks, right? It's hard. It's hard to recover from.
It is.
How do you do that? How do you deal with it, man?
That's the thing. You just deal with it. And I have a couple of stories on where I've run into these exact things. So last year I was running a pretty successful personal finance podcast, and we were trying to jumpstart it. And like towards the beginning, when we weren't getting any traffic on the podcast, we tried to jumpstart it. And I thought, hey, I did a pool care rap video. What if I do a rap video about personal finance? Like that has never been done before, you know? And so I went out and wrote this like kind of dark song. It was a little dark and it wasn't as funny as it should have been, like in hindsight, but the video was all avant-garde, New York City, black and white, sort of had funny parts, but, you know, kind of serious. The chorus was really serious, and we put it out there because I swore. I'm like, we are going to be in Time Magazine for this friggin' video. We are going to be huge. Like, no one's ever done a video about personal finance that's a rap song. So it's like, I don't know. So we put it out there, and it failed. It failed hard. It was just hard. And I was like, I had never got like the wind out of your sails. It was like getting punched in the gut and just not being able to breathe for, I don't know, 4 months. So it was really, really difficult. And what happened was over the course of 6 months since the video gotten launched, no one really, I mean, people watched it and I would get little drip emails here and there like, oh my God, I just saw your video. Holy like, how did you do that? Like, that's amazing. And I'm like, oh, thank you. You're, you know, 3 months too late or whatever. And then finally, like the video helped me get some other opportunities that, you know, I wouldn't have had gotten had I not done it, which were, I was asked to perform the song at the FinCon Awards, or I'm sorry, the Plutus Awards at FinCon, which is this financial bloggers conference. And because of that video, they asked me to like perform in front of the entire, you know, conference. And I'm like, oh yeah, yeah, that'd be awesome. So got a free ticket to go. And I actually ended up writing a whole new song for them instead of doing that one. But I got this opportunity and now I'm part of this community and now I'm speaking there this year. And so it's all because I did this rap video. And it's not, and there's a whole bunch of other things that came from it too, like little things here and there. So, you know, when something fails, it may fail because what you're trying to measure failed, but there's so many other things that it succeeds at that you need to take it, you know, you need to like understand. So the way I look at it with just content in general, when I say like, you know, everyone wants to start a blog because that's how people make money, right? And that's great. And I think you should. And if you're a good writer or you're a good graphic designer, or you're a good video maker, you should start some sort of online presence and build a product and do all these things. Okay. But every time you put a blog post out there, there's an opportunity where it's going to fail. And there's an opportunity where it may be super successful. But if you just say like everything that you put out, every time you create a piece of content online, that's good, not crap. If you do good content consistently all the time, it's like putting in a lottery ticket. All right. And every time you put in a lottery ticket, there's a chance that, you know, Life Hacker picks it up and you hockey stick, right? Or, you know, you put a lottery ticket out and you might win $5, $10, you know, $20 over time. Now, the lottery ticket analogy is pretty piss poor because first of all, I don't gamble and I think it's really bad. But the idea basically being like each time you put something out into the world, you're putting something out into the world and it may not be found and it may not have this huge launch like on day one. But over time, that lottery ticket that you've created, that piece of content you created, gets traction somewhere else or just gets like a spread traction. So to give you an example of what I mean is I had this post called the top 10 robotic pool cleaners for swimming pools or something like that, right? So it ranked number one in Google for robotic pool cleaners. It was like the post. And then Google was like, no, and they ripped it off the search engines and they were like, this is spam or whatever the case is. And then I had to rebuild it from scratch and it did not rank for robotic pool cleaners anymore. So I thought, I'm doomed. My life sucks. This is terrible. And then what happened over, you know, a year or two is that it started ranking for all these little tiny long phrase keywords like best robotic pool cleaner ever invented. So anybody who'd like type that in, it would be number one for that. So what ended up happening was, you know, if you look at it like on day one, it sucked. Mm-hmm. But over day 365, it actually did really, really well. And another thing, like just another example of that is I launched my first digital product. I created my own hot tub care digital PDF product thing, put it on Gumroad and sold it on my website. And it got zero sales for $0 on launch day. And I was devastated. And I'm like, I just spent all this time illustrating this PDF and it's so great and no one cares. And then I just thought, you know what? Screw it. I'm just going to move on and keep going. So then at the end of the year, you know, I got little sales. Like I would get a sale this week. And I'm like, ooh, I made $24. That's great. But then I look at it at the end of the year and I'd made, I think it was like $1,500. Now,
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's not a lot of money, but when you look at like, look, it took me a month to do and it will make, and if I just do the same every year, I make $1,500 a year. If it never grows and my traffic never goes anywhere, that's what I'll make. And that's awesome. That's mm-hmm. So, it's small, but that's like, that is, think about what you can buy for that amount of money per year, or you can invest that money, whatever you decide to do with it. But my point is like, you created something once, it was good, but it just wasn't good enough to get that hockey stick moment. But it will get its moment or its moments that when you look at the big picture, it did really, really well. And yeah, you know, some posts don't do well and they'll just, you know, go into the graveyard. But the idea is just to keep creating, constantly create stuff that is really good, that makes you laugh or that you have fun doing or that you have fun looking at later, where you don't mind bragging about to other people. That's what this is all about. And I think if you keep doing that, you're going to be successful. And it may not be overnight hockey stick. It may be over, you know, 7 years.
Yeah. No, well, well said. And things don't have to be lottery. Like you don't have to make $1 million off this or $10,000 or anything. It's those things add up. $1,500 a year is huge.
Yeah. And it's not, yeah, it's like this. Well, it's the, everyone has that get rich quick mentality. Like I even I have it. I mean, that's, you know, when I started, I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to make $1,000,000 because I have this awesome website. Like just, that's what you think you're going to, it's going to happen. And then it doesn't. And then you get discouraged. And then most people, a big majority give up. Like they all give up because they're like, I can't worry about this. I need to focus because I have 50 kids and, you know, whatever the case is. So it's the people who stick it out and slog through and do the work and have fun at the same time, because that's really what this is all about, I think, you will be successful. You may not be like overnight, like Richard Branson successful, Oprah money, but you'll be good and you'll be happy and you'll be free. And that's really the point.
Well said. Well said. All right, Matt, this has been fun. We've got to talk about you and your business in passing. Can you just specifically tell the listener where they can find out more about you, please?
Yes. So what I'm trying to do is build a media company, an online media company. But right now I have Swim University as my flagship blog product, whatever. And if you have a swimming pool or a hot tub and you want to learn how to take care of it, you can go there and learn how to take care of it. If you're into coffee, I am launching a website called roastycoffee.com. And it is basically an education website for coffee nerds. So you go there, learn how to make really good coffee, learn how to buy coffee, learn how to, you know, find great coffee, you know, all the types of things. Learn about the history of coffee. That comes out in April. And I'll be making videos. It's like, I'm going to focus really hard on video for that site because I think I like coffee porn. So I bought this like nice new camera with this awesome lens to get some really great coffee shots, close-ups. So after that, I'm going to go back into podcasting and I'm going to start a podcast called Driven. That's the name as of right now. Hopefully no one else takes it or steals it. I'm looking at you, everyone out there. I'm not looking at anything really. I'm looking at the window. But, so that's the, and I'm just going to be interviewing. I'm just going to be interviewing people who I think are super driven and kind of find out what drives people to do what they do. And it's not just going to be online entrepreneurs. It'll be, you know, like my dad, like what drives him to get up every morning and what drove him to have me. I just want to find out what gets people's, you know, juices flowing.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah. I'll link to all of those places in the show notes. So they're easy, easy for you to find Matt and tell him you heard him on the show. And I'll also probably add his Twitter on there so you can go annoy him over there.
Oh, he please. Would love it. I love Twitter.
I know.
That's my thing. It's my jam.
Very cool. So Matt. Jeez.
That's fine. Either way. Matthew's my hipster name.
There we go. Matthew, thank you so much for joining me. I totally appreciate it. And keep doing what you're doing, man, because it's pretty awesome to watch.
John, thank you so much for having me on. This is awesome.
Matt, thank you so much for joining me. That was a really fun conversation. And I learned a lot about content, about you, and the cool stuff you're up to. And it was really, really fun. So you're listening to this and you heard Matt say a lot of smart things, right? A lot of really, really smart things. But he said one thing, didn't he? He did. He said one thing that really, really stuck out. Did you get it? Did you hear it? Let's do it. Let's find the hack.
Each time you put something out into the world, you're putting something out into the world, and it may not be found, and it may not be have this huge launch like on day one. But over time, that lottery ticket that you've created, that piece of content you created, gets traction somewhere else, or just gets like a spread traction.
And that's the hack. Yes, Matthew. Oh, sorry, Matt. I think that's the first time I've called you Matthew, but you get it. The idea of creating content as a lottery ticket is, I love the analogy. It's great. And it's so true. And I love how you prefaced this before by, if you're a good writer, then you should definitely have a blog. You should. If you're good at making videos, if you're good at whatever it is you're good at, do that. Create that content and put it out there. But then, as Matt just said, don't get bummed out when that doesn't immediately take off and Mashable doesn't pick it up and it goes viral. It typically never happens. But if you think long term and you think that that content, think about that content as still valuable. That is still your lottery ticket you're putting out there. That's still a valuable piece of content if you created something valuable, which you should have, but it's still out there and it's still doing its job. And as Matt explains, right after this was that it could take 2 years. It took 2 years for his content about the robot pool cleaner to, after getting pulled out of Google and then getting picked up for all these different keywords and then being a super valuable piece of content. That's how content marketing works. It takes work. It doesn't immediately see benefit always, but if you consistently put out good content, it will work. Thank you, Matt. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right. This has been a lot of fun. As always, I thank you so much. Check out the website, hacktheentrepreneur.com. You'll see my pretty face up there on the right-hand side, I believe. On the left-hand side is a spot for your email address. Drop that in there and that you'll get my newsletter, my email I write once a week to you, and you can respond to any email and we can strike up a conversation. I'd love to talk to you. It's been fun. As always, thank you, Matt. Thank you for listening. I do truly appreciate it. And until next time, please keep hacking the entrepreneur.